This morning, our New Testament lesson comes from Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, verses 6 through 14. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" And Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going away, and as they were staring toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood next to them. They said, "Galileans, why are you standing here, looking toward heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James's son, all were united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ascension of the Lord was celebrated on May 25th, this past Thursday, I believe. And the New Testament text from the first chapter of Acts that is assigned by the lectionary for Ascension of the Lord also carries over to the seventh Sunday after Easter, which is today. This morning's reading is the prelude to the celebration of the Festival of Pentecost, which we will celebrate next week. The Festival of Pentecost is that historical moment for the early church. We tell the children in children's church that it is the birthday of the church, day one. When the Spirit of God descends among the gathered disciples and followers of Jesus, equipping them for their future ministry. Ever since Easter, we have focused on those occasions, especially in John's Gospel, but one from Luke as well, when Jesus appears to his disciples, whether it's in Jerusalem, maybe a few miles outside of town, on the road to Emmaus. We've reviewed the farewell discourse in which Jesus offers instruction to the disciples. This is what life will look like after I'm gone. He makes promises that Jesus is going ahead to a place, to a house with many, many rooms. We get this imagery that Jesus has built an everlasting mansion behind pearly gates, and there's a room for each of us to occupy for eternity. We can also see that as Jesus is going to a place to abide in the presence of God the Father. Jesus goes ahead of us that we might have this relationship as well. Jesus, on the night that he is betrayed by Judas and Peter, and after his exaltation in the crucifixion, there is a moment when the disciples know that God will send a comforter, an advocate, someone to stand in their corner when there's not much of a glimpse of hope. The Spirit will come. It's not a replacement for Jesus, but it's because of what God is doing in Jesus Christ that the Spirit will come. The disciples need a power that's beyond themselves. They've walked, they talked, they've shared in ministry with Jesus for several years. And all of a sudden, the incarnation has come to a screeching halt. They need a power to descend for them that will equip them to continue on. It's no different for us. The ministry that we do is not for ourselves. It's not for gain, for self-serving purposes, for notoriety in this community. And it's not done by our own self-reliance or power. If it is, we'll find that ministry is going to dry up pretty quick. It's not going to last for the long haul. We'll burn out and we'll become a relic of religious history in Middle Tennessee. We have to be drinking from a deep well, from the movement of God's Spirit among us. That's the life source for the body of Christ, the church, and the world. It's the Spirit of God that was first breathed among the resurrection community, the disciples, the same ones that had walked alongside Jesus, now fearful for their lives, gathered in the upstairs room. Jesus comes to them and breathes the Spirit into their presence. As the Gospel of Luke comes to an end and the second volume starts, I want you to see that Luke and Acts go together. It chronicles the ascension. The ascension takes center stage, for Jesus is returning to God the Father who sent him into ministry among us. And the disciples, as they are often concerned, are wondering, is this the moment when the messianic expectations, they want Rome out of their hometown. They want to be free from this tyranny that they've known for so long. And Jesus is likely the one that would make that happen, but at every step, the procession into Jerusalem, instead of it turning into a coronation, it turns into a crucifixion. So they're thinking now, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives, maybe this is the moment which the tides will begin to change. And so they ask, Jesus, are you going to bring the kingdom to its full restoration? Not quite. He makes a promise to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come among you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Jesus movement begins out on the shore of a lakeshore out in the backwoods, not near anything important. But then it ends, or seems to end, right beside the Temple Mount where Solomon and Herod had erected the temple. Not too far out of town, the women find an Easter tomb just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. You can see that all of the major events of the latter part of Jesus' ministry are in Jerusalem or pretty close by. Some apostles will stay in Jerusalem bearing witness. This is where Pentecost takes place. They've gathered together in the temple courts. Others will venture a bit further out. They'll go into Judea, which is kind of the Jerusalem countryside, still in the same region. A few brave ones, they venture off into Samaria, not quite a hospitable area to go. There have been long established divides. And so it's not the best thing for Jews to venture into Samaria, but still apostles of Jesus the Christ go, that they may share what they have experienced. And Paul and Barnabas and Thomas and others, they go to the ends of the known earth, to the edges of the Roman Empire, off to Antioch, where the church, where Christians are called that for the very first time. They go to Cyprus, to Syria. Paul ends up in Rome. Thomas is said to have gone to the edges of India. The promise of and the arrival of God's Spirit compelled the early church to fulfill Jesus' commission to bear witness wherever they go, locally, regionally, and to the ends of God's green earth. The late Reverend J. Richard Allison modeled the ministry of being sent forth by God's Spirit to cast vision for the transformation that I think he knew in Jesus Christ. He wanted to share what a transformed life could look like. Reverend Allison served as a global missionary for the Methodist Church from 1949 to 1966 in India. He told a reporter in July 1949 before he left, I don't want to thrust my ways, my culture, or my beliefs upon anyone. I just want to share my experience of a fuller life. Reverend Allison was a witness to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ for every living soul, no matter whether they reside in Davidson County, in Cheatham, or halfway around the world. The commission is the same. Church, go and bear witness to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Go and tell some stories of the amazing, miraculous transformations that are taking place in your life and right in front of your eyes in the community. Some of you will stay here in Kingston Springs. You might venture over to Pegram, but you might stay in Kingston Springs, bearing witness for all that God is doing. Some of you have. I learned this past week. And some of you will go in the future to places far away to bear witness. For you have heard this commission that Jesus first gave to his early disciples and rings true for us as well. God's grace is doing something among us. Go and bear witness to it. Personally, I've gone to some far reaches to support ministry for a time because the love of God that is for kids in South Cheatham is the same as it is for kids in rural Mexico or sub-Saharan Africa. Always for no longer than 2 weeks, I've gone to United Methodist churches and ministries in Russia and Brazil and Mexico and Malawi. I've had the privilege to preach in churches that were framed up with sticks and had thatched roofs, and you really didn't want it to rain because it was going to be a wet day in church. I've drunk water out of deep boreholes that had been funded, made possible by women's groups and Sunday school classes thousands of miles away. I've worked in a nutrition clinic where mothers brought their malnourished babies and children, looking to a community health worker who had graduated from African University, looking for a way to make food out of no way at all. I don't share these glimpses of ministry because they're sexy or glamorous, or because I think that we all need to be in international mission work. I painted a brief picture of the ways in which this morning, this very Sabbath day, almost in every community on God's green earth, there is a United Methodist pastor, a lay preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a missionary, or just some church folk that have gathered together for a meal in someone's home to bear witness to the love and grace of God at work in their life. On our behalf and in the name of Jesus Christ, the United Methodist Connection is bearing witness in every imaginable place on earth or close to it. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the churches and people of faith have taken up this call seriously to be equipped by God's Spirit to serve in communities because the love of Jesus Christ is for all of creation. I want to tell you more and more and more about the ways in which I've seen this connection at work, but we're still trying to get out of here at a decent time, so we can have those conversations later. But let me put it this way. The United Methodist Connection is at work across the globe, and that is a gift, a blessing from God. The connection is doing the hard work in churches, work out in the fields, to help others see that they have a place in the reign of God. They have a place at the table where Jesus Christ is the host. Go and do likewise. Bear witness to the ways that you are experiencing God's grace in your life. Bless you in the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore.